This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. This week we've been remembering the Vietnam War, which ended 30 years ago. The war and its echoes still affect this country. Vietnam came up in the U.S. presidential campaign just last year. And here in Washington, Americans still visit a memorial to more than 58,000 American dead. Vietnamese deaths, military and civilian, number in the millions. NPR's Michael Sullivan has been traveling across a changing Vietnam today. He reports this morning from Hanoi, the capital of a country now reunified under communist rule.
In Hanoi's Ba Ding district, just past the Ho Chi Minh Museum, is a neighborhood called Noh Ca. Follow the narrow, twisting alley past the pagoda, deep into the village, and you'll come to the Noh Ca Elementary School, where parents wait patiently on their motorbikes each afternoon, waiting for school to end. When it does, it's announced not with a bell, but a drum. The children file out past a small pond across the street. Sticking out of the water are a few large, jagged pieces of metal and a set of wheels. They are all that remain of a B-52 bomber that crashed here during the war. An inscription on a nearby wall says the plane was shot down on December 27, 1972. During what Americans have come to know as the Christmas bombing. The students, of course, have no memory of that war, let alone that night, and most of their parents aren't old enough to remember either. Nearly 70% of Vietnam's population was born after the war ended. But Vu Thi Hieu remembers. She was here during that time and lives here still, in a small two-room house just a few steps away from the school and the pond. Her spotlessly clean living room has a fridge, a color TV, and a modest altar to honor her ancestors. A radio in the corner plays patriotic music from the time of the American War. Vu Thi Hieu was 24 years old back then, working in a nearby factory. Her husband worked there too. He also served with the local self-defense force. Vu Thi Hieu can still recall the night the B-52 crashed next door. She and her husband had just finished their dinner by candlelight. There was no electricity.
We rested for a while, and then we heard sirens. Shortly after, the explosion started. We ran to our shelter outside, and then we heard a huge boom, like thunder, and the sky lit up like it was daytime. Some burning debris fell onto our shelter. We worried that the shelter would catch fire, but it didn't. And after, it became quiet. We came out and heard a neighbor crying, "They're dead! They're dead!" And then we saw the whole pond was on fire from the burning fuel that had spread all over.
There were small fires everywhere. Several neighbors had been killed. Vu Thi Hieu says she lost dozens of friends and co-workers in a raid two nights earlier, but she says she harbors no animosity towards Americans. It was the American government, not the people, she says. The war years were difficult times when people often went hungry, but after the war ended, she says, things weren't much better under the communist government's centrally planned economy.
The government wanted to control us. We worked for the government, and no one was allowed to do other jobs. We just went to work, came home, ate, and went to sleep. Then we got up the next morning to work for the government again. There wasn't much food then. It was rationed. Each person got about 4 ounces of meat to last a whole month. Our family was luckier than most. We had only 2 children, and we had a garden to grow vegetables. But many other families had nothing to eat but porridge.
11 years after the war ended, the Communist Party began to realize it had made a mistake. While maintaining tight political control, the government began implementing an economic policy called doi moi, or restructuring. The first tentative steps in a slow and painful transition to a market economy. Jordan Ryan, country director for the United Nations Development Program, says the government's decision changed everything.
At that period, you had probably triple-digit inflation. You did have hunger, if not starvation, coming back. That is simply not the case today. 20 years later, dramatic improvements in terms of poverty reduction, in terms of the economic management of the country. Those changes, you know, have been dramatic, and you see it on the street.
Streets awash in motorbikes, new Hondas and Yamahas, their riders clutching the latest Nokia cell phones as they window shop for the latest flat-screen TVs and digital cameras. The gray and often grim Hanoi that some foreigners remember from the 1980s and early 90s is now exploding in color and commerce as Vietnamese entrepreneurs make up for lost time. And in one of the world's last remaining nominally communist countries, Hanoi's nouveau riche are even embracing that quintessentially capitalist sport. 30 years ago, there were only a handful of golf courses in Vietnam, all of them in the decadent, culturally polluted South. Today, there are more than a dozen courses, two of them around Hanoi, and several more are under construction. But projects like these have created tension with local residents. They complain their land is often taken by local Communist Party officials who sell it to developers for large sums. In this tightly controlled one-party state, people rarely speak ill of the government in public, fewer still into a foreigner's microphone. But in the village of Kim Nho, they are too angry to care. Nguyen Van Quang is a 72-year-old veteran and party member who fought the French at Dien Bien Phu. Now he's wondering why he bothered.
We are old communists. Most of us have been with the party for more than 50 years. But I think maybe we should check our party cards to the Hanoi People's Committee and return them, because the party was supposed to fight for us. But instead, the people in charge in our village do whatever they want. They take what they want. They threaten us with jail if we complain.
Nguyen says several people have already been jailed after scuffles with police, and their complaints to authorities in Hanoi have fallen on deaf ears, a reminder of the power local officials wield here. There's no doubt, though, that most people in and around Hanoi are better off now than they were at the end of the war. People like Vu Thi Hieu, back of the Hanoi neighborhood of Noc Ca. When the building boom started here in the early 90s, she says, she sold half of her small plot to developers. Then she used the money to build a three-story house next to her own to rent out to foreigners. She says she and her husband will use the rental income to augment their tiny pensions, and she hopes allow them to live a comfortable retirement.
The war years and the time after, it lasted so long. And back then, we couldn't even imagine the life we have now. We didn't know that one day we could just walk into a shop and buy anything we wanted. We didn't know about a supermarket. We didn't know that our children would be learning English. It's all much more than we could have believed. Much more.
Her husband agrees, laughing. Look, we all want to be rich, to have more money. Everybody does. But 30 years after the war, he says, this is pretty good. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Hanoi.
Our Vietnam series continues tomorrow. There is impatience with the pace of economic development in the province where Ho Chi Minh was born.